Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This week on the Mike Wise Show, it's our special Super Bowl edition, but the rules around here say ladies first. So, Darlene, do your thing.
The Mike Wise Show is a presentation of Pure Hoops Media. The Mike Wise Show is hosted by a guy who played basketball atrociously for Hawaii Pacific College, which forced him into journalism. And, oh yeah, he wrote about basketball for the New York Times, the Washington Post, and ESPN. He's also a wise ass, and so are many of his guests.
As always, thank you, Darlene. This week's guest is definitely a wise ass. And many other things, you know him as my producer and wingman. Hello, Bruce Bernstein.
Hello, Mike Wise. I know we both want to talk about some celebration tonight for former Patriots and current Buccaneers, but boy, do we have some sad news to start.
Yeah, it's floored me. I saw somebody on Twitter say earlier, this Pedro Gomez news is bumming me out. And I thought, wow, Pedro broke something about baseball that was unseemly, because that's what we knew Pedro Gomez for, breaking stories, reporting, as you said, being one of the first bilingual reporters to actually interview players in Spanish on television. And then he would come back with his perfect English. Pedro Gomez died at 58 years old. And nobody knows the story yet, but we do know that it was unexpected. And it's a shocker, because he tweeted from his account, 9 hours ago. So who cares? He's gone. And it's a shocker, because I knew Pedro when he was a reporter for the San Jose Mercury News and the Sacramento Bee, covering baseball back in the day. I was trying to make my own bones in the Bay Area before we both got national jobs. And it's just a crusher on so many levels. He's not just a contemporary in the media, but you work with him. He's just a good dude.
I was at ESPN for, more than 30 years, as people who've listened to this show know. And for a good number of those years, Pedro was there at the same time. And I used to be involved in SportsCenter as well as NBA. So I had plenty of dealings with Pedro over the years. And the one thing about Pedro was that he was just a perfect teammate. There were times that a lot of people, especially guys like Pedro, who were out on the road all the time covering sports, and SportsCenter, and before that ESPN News, always wanted to do one more live shot or one more live segment, whatever. And these guys, a lot of times, they were just like exhausted. But Pedro always responded with a smile. Didn't matter how many hours he had worked. If somebody needed something and he was on the beat for that story at that particular time, he would never say no. And that sort of spirit of teamwork just absolutely endeared him to all of us at ESPN who worked with him. And he was just a beloved figure. And I know I'm just gutted at this news.
I mean, I'm going to the Wikipedia page. This article is being heavily edited because its subject has recently died. Knowledge about the circumstances of his death and surrounding events may change rapidly as more facts come to light. Initial news reports may be unreliable in the most recent, was a Phoenix-based reporter for ESPN. He was primarily a baseball reporter, also a member of the Baseball Writers Association. Covered 25 World Series, 22 Major League Baseball All-Star Games, was a voting member of the Baseball of Fame. Son of Cuban refugees, born just 20 days after his parents arrived in the United States in August 1962, 2 months before the Cuban Missile Crisis. Gomez attended Coral Park High School with Jose Canseco in Miami, as well as Miami-Dade Community College and the University of Miami. You know, it's just, he had married 3 kids, lived in Phoenix for as long as I could remember, because one of our last substantial conversations, he was hosting Kevin Merida, the Undefeated's editor, my former boss. He was just sort of asking me, you know, basically trying to get the inside dope on Kevin and say, hey, what kind of guy is he? What kind of questions can I ask him so we can talk to my class? Because I believe he was doing some adjunct professor work at Arizona State University. And just, you know, we caught up and it was like, it was great. It was like, we were all friends, even though we hadn't talked for a while. And I don't know, I understand it's a COVID world and people are dying left and right that you knew, and but this one really hits me. This one really hits me.
Well, you know, you're probably a couple of years younger than Pedro. I'm a few years older than Pedro, who, as you said, was 58 years old. So when guys our age, you know, when somebody that we worked with and we knew and we really liked a lot and respected, I mean, it's like a little chunk of your heart goes. It's kind of like, you know, I know you weren't at ESPN quite as long as I was. Like I said, I was there for a really long time. And one of the things that all ESPN people have always sort of understood is that once you've been there for a certain amount of time, you become like family because you spend so much time with people, even if you're in their ear on an IFB as they're doing a live shot from Phoenix. So it really hurts when anybody that you worked with for, you know, 10, 12, 15 years dies. Like, it's like losing a member of the family. It's just like, it's just a gut punch.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And even though you have all these peripheral relationships in the press box and with people on the phone, and bottom line is, you know, there's, you know, the good ones from the people that are so ambitious, they're all about themselves. And Pedro was such a good person. I mean, he's one of the few people that was so successful, but at no point did anybody wish him ill. Like, he was one of these successful people. Like, nobody said like, oh, he's going to get his. No, you were happy for Pedro and for his success. And he was just, I know, he never changed. He stayed as contemporary as he was old, and he was just a good, I don't know. It's surreal. And I know we should get on to Tom Brady and Michael Jordan and LeBron James and the NBA and all the things we talk about at Pure Hoops Media. It's still surreal. It blows me away. It really does. This guy, John Smallwood, died recently. He was a longtime Philadelphia Inquirer and Philadelphia sports writer. And he'd had a long-term health issue, and a lot of people thought that he might not be around for a long time. But this one was a shocker, really out of the blue.
And, you know, of all the things that will be said about Pedro over the next few days and have already been said by some, and you touched on this at the very top when we first started discussing this, ESPN was always very good in the years that I was there about being inclusive and featuring diversity. And when Major League Baseball really became a sport dominated by Spanish-speaking players, more and more you would find that there was, you know, the biggest stars in the game, the Pedro Martinez, the Manny Ramirez, these guys, Spanish was their first language. And yeah, that's one of the things
Mariano
that made
Rivera.
Pedro... Exactly. And that's one of the things that made Pedro so valuable, not only as a colleague at ESPN, but for the viewing audience, because you could never get a real-time interview with a Spanish-only speaking athlete on a live show. But with Pedro, he'd ask the question in Spanish. He would translate his own question to the viewers. He would let the athlete answer in Spanish, and then he would give a perfect translation. It was an unbelievable service to the viewers. And God, he'll be missed. What a wonderful man. And, you know,
if you haven't,
our best to his family.
Most of you that are sports fans know who he is, but if you don't, he was this guy who probably never lost a hair on his head. He had a perfect head of hair. As he got older, it turned a real stately white. And he had big brown eyes, you know, a smile that, you know, you could see from, as Brent Musburger used to say, a Magic Johnson from L.A. to Bangor, Maine, you know. And he just, you know, he's just one of those guys who happy-go-lucky. I don't know. All right.
Well, and a friend to everyone.
Yeah, friend to everyone. Godspeed, and I'm really sorry for his family and his three children, and one of which is in the Red Sox system. He's a pitcher, Bruce.
I believe he is. Yes.
Yeah, his son Rio is a pitcher in the Red Sox organization, and my God, it's the whole thing. Yeah. It's
there's no good segues out of that. But you did mention Boston, and I think some of the Boston fans were pretty excited about the football game, but I know you don't want to start with us. You want to start with Tampa Bay and Tom Brady, right, Mike?
I don't really care, Bruce.
I thought I was watching the Patriots alumni game in the first half because all three touchdown connections were to former Patriots, two to Gronk and one to Antonio Brown, who played a minute for the Patriots.
Oh, I forgot. But, that's right. That's right.
So to me, I was watching like, oh, is this the Patriots alumni playing tonight? What's going on with this?
Yeah, that, and Gronk had retired for a year too, and all of a sudden he looked like it's wild. If you told me that Rob Gronkowski was going to have a better game than Travis Kelce, I would have said you're out of your mind. And it was just one of those nights where people said that because of the offensive lineman that Kansas City was missing, and the fierce, you know, and how healthy Tampa's defense was, that. Somehow the Bucs had the better roster, but nobody, you know, there's like the defending Super Bowl champion. Mahomes is basically the new eye candy in the NFL. I mean, he's the, you know, heir apparent until Aaron Rodgers moves out of the way. And I just feel like Tom Brady, man, you know, he's, you know what he is? It's, you talk about conspiracy theories. Everybody's all into it. There's only one that makes sense. Tom Brady is, he wasn't born. He was hatched in the California redwoods, and he was put there by beings not of this earth. And it was from a species that essentially their whole mission was to get him to procreate with supermodels and conquer our most popular sport. And I think that, you know, and basically he's Benjamin Button and frickin' pads and helmet. I mean, the guy looks like he's 43. He's getting younger. Between 37 and 43, Bruce, he won four of his seven Super Bowls. The only guys I can even think of in the sort of four major North American sports leagues that have done that well over 40 years old are maybe Gordie Howe, Jaromir Jagr, Nolan Ryan, Randy Johnson, Hank Aaron. Hank Aaron not only broke Babe Ruth's record after 40, he hit 120 of his homers after 40 years old. Then I'd go to like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who won a championship in 1988 at about 42, and he won a couple scoring titles. And then, who else?
There's nobody that he hasn't eclipsed. In my mind, as a professional athlete, winner, whatever you want to call it. I mean, I know we're a basketball show, although we veer off into lanes here and there. But to me, Tom Brady is a combination of Michael Jordan, LeBron James, with a little bit of Magic Johnson thrown in on the side. And here's why I say that. With Jordan, okay.
Yeah, that's like the hot take of this. Where does that come from?
Well, I'm gonna tell you why. I'm gonna provide some reasoning behind it. Okay, he's Michael Jordan because he's got seven championships. Okay, that's one thing. He's a maniacal competitor like Michael Jordan was. Okay, he's LeBron James because in spite of all his championships, he got to the big game lots of times and didn't win. And some people held that against him. So he's not only got great triumphs, but he's been there and didn't win, but still at his advanced age, takes unbelievable care of his body and has the knowledge and the hoop IQ and the desire to make everybody around him better. And then I'll throw in a little Magic Johnson just because I don't know. I like Magic Johnson.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I'll say that he's a combination of Jesus, Gandhi, and Einstein. And you throw in a little Mother Teresa because he's probably given away some money at some point too. Let's not get carried away. I mean, I'll tell you this. I think he's a more sinister competitor, like sinister in terms of he'll do anything to win more than Michael Jordan, more than Michael Jeffrey Jordan. I just said it. I think he's, if I had to put a Mount Rushmore, because that's all we deal with in these sports times, is these ridiculous, who's the Mount Rushmore? Well, who's the Mount Rushmore of the iconic athlete generation that Tom Brady was in? I mean, wouldn't you have to put him, Jordan, Tiger, maybe Serena Williams? If you're going outside a major, well, you take Serena off because tennis is sort of a niche sport more than it is a major sport. But if you're going outside of that world, you talk about Roger Federer, you talk about Michael Phelps, you talk about, you know,
Wayne Gretzky, perhaps.
But Gretzky's a little, that was a different era. That's Magic, that's true. Bird
yeah,
era.
That's true. Yeah.
I would say Tiger because, well, Tiger came of age in 97, I think, 96, 97. Brady's first year was what, 2000, 99, 2000?
Yeah.
So, you know, like the last 20 years, I guess Jordan was at the end of his run when Brady got into the league. So, but God, who is, you just won one more title than Michael Jordan. I can't, you know, the ultimate competitor. I still go back to, you talk about like a real, what do you call it? His whole, like, I was going to write a column this week about how, you know, Tom Brady doesn't stand for anything. He's not Colin Kaepernick. He's not like, and then I thought, who cares? He's an old guy that plays his ass off. And yeah, he probably should stand up for some things that other people are standing up for because his voice would carry a lot of weight. But I think I got to put that aside and just kind of, you know, for a moment and just say, Tom Brady, the professional, if I'm just judging him on his career, who's greater? And I still go back to this moment when I was covering the 2011 Super Bowl when Tom Curran, you know Tom Curran at all?
Yeah, he works for NBC Sports Boston.
Yeah, great guy. He's been covering. I don't even know if he does the Patriots anymore, but he's really into them. He's known Tom forever. And we're talking at the Super Bowl. And he got, you know, and I think it's kind of one of those, he got to be the pool reporter for the last practice of the Super Bowl that year. So he got to, you know, go into the Giants practice and the Patriots practice. Or maybe it's one guy for each team. And he was the Patriots practice and he, you know, the pool reporter, because the team doesn't want to give away any of its game planning. He has to be real, clandestine about what they did, but he can talk to the players. So he knew Tom for a while and he told me this story and he said, don't use this unless they win the game. And I go, all right, because when he goes up to Tom Brady and it was this great moment where Brady walks up to his mom and his sister and his dad after the practice. And a lot of the family members come to watch the last practice and he hugs them and they, hey, you know, great, good luck tomorrow. And all right, I'll see you guys after. And it was just this nice moment. And Tom Curran had known Tom Brady for a while. You know, this Boston guy walks up to him and goes, hey, Tom. He goes, I've known you for a while. You're back at the Super Bowl. And this was like 2011, you know, and he goes, you're back at the big game and it's just cool to see you here. And that whole moment with your family, I thought it was great. And I just wanted to tell you that. And Brady looked at him like he had this maniacal look on his face and he said, we're going to fucking kill him. He was talking about the Giants. Now, Eli pulled a rabbit out of his ass and just came, you know, once again, found a way to beat him in the end. But and stupid Wes Welker, man, if you would have held on to that pass, they would have kicked the field goal and won. But the bottom line is Tom Brady was like in the moment that he could have just been, you know, I'm having a nice human moment. He was in game mode. He was like, I'm going to kill the opponent. And you gotta love that. That's why he's so successful. He lives for winning. He freaking eats avocado ice cream. He doesn't eat sugar. He eats, you know, a big, like sort of me and you going out and getting a pepperoni blast pizza with extra cheese. For Tom, that's That's kale, pine nuts, and some roasted cauliflower with some coconut oil. That's his fucking pepperoni blast.
Do you realize how close he came to winning 10 Super Bowls? Because here's,
well, this is a great thing.
The Eli Manning miracle play where he scrambled forever, avoided about 3 sacks, and hit David Tyree for that miracle catch in the first time they lost to the Giants. And the second time, I believe, was the Wes Welker drop pass where they, you know, they would have kicked the field goal to win that one. And then when they lost to Philadelphia a few years ago, it took that sort of miracle quarterback pass. Was it Nick Foles, right? That miracle crazy play, because he threw for 500 yards in that game and they lost. So he came that close to actually winning 10 Super Bowls. Now, granted, he shouldn't have won the one against Seattle because stupid Pete Carroll, instead of giving the ball to the big running back.
Beast mode.
Yeah. He throws the ball and Malcolm Butler intercepted it.
Oh, Marshawn
Lynch. Yeah. So really Brady could easily have won 9. Let's say if you take that one away and give him the 2 against the Giants and the 1 against Philly, unbelievable. I don't think we'll ever see. This is the closest thing. This is like Bill Russell level stuff, really. I mean, it's pretty much.
Yeah. There. In this era of free agency and everything else, it's crazy. And I think what it says is Bill Belichick is just a bum of a coach without a quarterback. Yeah. But you know, we'll talk about forks in the road. Yeah, Eli Manning had to pull off 2 incredible endings, and you know, one of the most resourceful quarterbacks who, I don't know, you think Eli makes the Hall of Fame? I think maybe he should.
He
basically beat the best quarterback in the game twice in the biggest game at the end, and he also and then Nick Foles has the game of his life. And Philly, and oh man, Doug Peterson called every great play. I mean, they pulled that game out. Every Super Bowl he's been in has been like, except for this one, it's been drama filled. Kyle Shanahan, the offensive coordinator for the Falcons at the time, basically gave them that game. The way he called those plays at the end after a huge, I was rooting against him because I couldn't stand Mike Shanahan while he was in Washington. And Kyle was just his little
protege.
It was like nepotism central. Right, now he's a great, great coach. I'm not going to put it past him, but is manipulative as hell and sort of has basically thrown away 2 Super Bowls. Now he had some really bad play calls with the 49ers last year. And he basically gave Tom Brady a game against it. But anyway, bottom line is those forks in the road are fascinating to me because remember the Tuck Rule game? I mean, think about that. If that play is never called, and I saw Amy Trask, friend of mine, you know, former Raider executive, talking about this on CBS Sports the night. If that play is never called, talk about a fork in the road. This is a guy who fumbles away the AFC title. Is Belichick still the coach? You know, is Belichick still the coach? Is Brady like gone past by for Drew Bledsoe, gets his job back and, you know, he's fine the next year. Like,
hey, if Mo Lewis hadn't nearly broken Drew Bledsoe's chest, Brady might never have put the clipboard down.
Yeah. Oh, Jeremy Schapp, by the way, did a great E60 on Drew Bledsoe. Did you see that one? You got to see that.
I think so. Is that where he talked about how he's now in the wine business? And
exactly. Yeah. But it was great. It was sort of like we went into the whole thing and, you know, he's like, and he and Tom were really good friends. And he's like, yeah, he tells his mom, he goes, no, mom, this is great. People will see how great Tom is. You know, he can get a job as a backup somewhere else. I mean, you couldn't make it up. But anyway,
wasn't Brady the quarterback the last time Michigan won a national championship too? And that hasn't happened for a really long time and probably won't again.
Was he? Maybe.
I think in 97 when the Charles Woodson team, when they won the
national
championship, I think he was the quarterback for that team.
You might be right. It's like Montana. People forget Joe Montana won the Cotton Bowl and Notre Dame won that national championship. And that was sort of the start of all this.
Well, you know, his number one target, Joe Montana's number one target at Notre Dame. I went to the same high school with Kenny McAfee, who was the big tight end on that team. finished third in the Heisman voting that year. He was from Brockton High School, Brockton, Mass. He was class of 74. I was class of 75. Shameless plug. Shout out, Brockton.
Brockton, Mass, home of marvelous Marvin Hagler, by the way. How about that? How about that pull right there?
Marvin Hagler and Rocky Marciano.
Was Marciano from Brockton, Mass?
Yes, he was. In fact, I grew up on the same street as his nephews. We used to play baseball on the street.
What?
Moraine Street in Brockton. Absolutely. The Columbos lived there. Armand Colombo was Rocky's brother-in-law because Rocky's sister, Betty, married Armand, and they had like six kids, and they were all great athletes.
I remember Rocky. We were taking so many left turns, but I know, Rocky, right? I remember Rocky Marciano's brother after Larry Holmes broke his undefeated record, and he went off on Larry Holmes in the press conference. Like Holmes just insulted Rocky Marciano's memory, and it was great. Whatever. Yeah. All right. So bottom line is I'm really happy for Tom and Giselle. Those two star-crossed lovebirds haven't caught any breaks in this life. And I think we're both, it's a wonderful moment for both of them. In fact, I want to do a little ditty about Tom and Giselle, two Americans. Tommy sucking on a chili dog outside. No, okay. Look, I don't know what the hell we're doing tonight, but I can
tell you.
No,
he's the coolest living American. He really is. He's the cool. He might be the coolest guy in the world.
He's either the coolest or the most annoying, depending on who you're a fan base for.
Yeah, that's true.
But I had no problem with Tom Brady. Yeah. I would like to see him get involved with some, you know, like I remember he's kind of gotten a pass in a way that Jordan used to get killed for not being a part of, having more conviction about something other than Nike or his corporate sponsorship. And we don't do this. It's funny. We don't do the same to Tom Brady. We're somehow past that.
What I thought was fun, and I don't know if you want to do this or not, but yeah. I thought some of the football players reminded me of basketball players in the way they carried themselves. And now you said that Travis Kelce kind of had a little bit of an off game. I guess he did, although he had about 10 catches, but a lot of them were sort of after they were well behind and it wasn't really going to happen. I think Travis Kelce, when I watch that guy play, you know, he reminds me of as a basketball player.
This is going to be so bad, but I'm going to let you do it. Go ahead.
Kawhi Leonard, just a grind it out.
Kelce
doesn't say
Kelce in the claw.
I don't know. I mean, I'm Tyreke, not saying it's a.
Oh my! I'm looking at some of these off your sheet. Tyreke and Iverson. I mean, what short black guys who go around really fast? What are you doing? You were going to kill this entire show.
Mercurial performers who glide across the field or across the court, super fast, super fearless. Although Hill didn't really have his best game tonight, but up till tonight, he was the AI of football.
I do like the Mahomes and Steph, you know, two guys who are like sort of, you know, biracial, Indiana Jones. You don't know what they're going to do. They're so improvisational. Brady.
Swashbuckling MJ. Gunslingers.
Swashbuckling gunslingers. Yes. my God, that was a bad segment. All right. Yeah. Brady and LeBron. Now Brady and LeBron, forget about it. I got to give Reggie Miller some props really quickly. Reggie Miller had, we always talk about this, the eternal Superman versus Batman, LeBron versus MJ, you know, it's going to be going on forever. He had the greatest breakdown of that. And he said, if I'm a fan and I've got, you know, money and I haven't got a whole lot of money, but I want to see a guy play and I'm going to pay to be up in those seats. I don't care where I am. I'm going to pay to see MJ. He goes, but if I'm going to play shirts and skins at a game and I'm LeBron's my guy, I'm taking him on my team. He's going to find me. He's going to, and it was sort of like, you know, like to me, it said so much, not that Jordan was necessarily an inferior player, but it's sort of like Jordan's a more fun player to watch, but LeBron James is like the passing. Oh my God, the passing at his age, the passing, even his whole career. I mean, really, he is such a better passer than almost anybody his size ever. And he just knows how to win like few players ever have. Jordan is obviously thought of as the greatest winner. I think when it's all said and done, I think it's still going to be LeBron.
Is LeBron a better equal or not as good passer as Tom Brady?
I think that if I don't want to say LeBron is, you know, Jesus, Gandhi, Einstein in that era, but
yes, he is.
Yeah, he is. He is basically he is. And I think that if LeBron James ever put on a football jersey, he would be essentially John Elway, Dan Marino, and Joe Montana and Tom Brady combined. I don't think LeBron James is the greatest athlete of this lifetime. In fact, Tom Brady
just
might
like
be
Brady,
best.
He's not done. He's not done. He's still at the top of his game.
Yeah, he's 43. God, how do you play
football? No, I mean LeBron. LeBron's at the top of his game.
Oh, yeah,
game.
Yeah.
I mean, he's never been better.
LeBron ain't going to play till 43. Let me tell you right now. The thing about football is it's such a crushing sport. It's not like he's George Blanda kicking field goals, or who was the guy that played for every kick field goals for – he was a kicker forever.
Yeah, that was George Blanda.
Yeah, but there was another guy too, like an old fart.
Like Gary Anderson or
One of these guys.
Maybe Morton Anderson. Yeah. One of those Anderson.
Well, yeah, but like he's playing quarterback. He has 270-pound men who can run 4.5s, bearing down, and their whole mission in life is just to disembowel him. And he freaking gets away with a little sidestep, and he finds his guys, and he's it's a master of the mental game. I mean, you know, I love the deception. I love the fakes. So I'm a big
when, you know, fan. When you talk about LeBron as a passer, and I mean, that may be his best skill of like unbelievable skill set. Whenever he throws a pass, no matter what angle he's thrown it from, it always ends up right in that shooter's pocket. And the same with Brady. Did you see some of those throws over the middle where the receiver just had to get to a spot and turn his head and the ball was right in his gut? It was just right there. And again, leading another franchise to a championship in the twilight of his career. Now, LeBron's really – I don't know how long LeBron's going to play. I could see him playing 4 more years. I could see him getting to 40. I don't know if he's going to win 7 NBA championships. But I mean, I already felt he's the greatest all-time football player. And you know what? You have to appreciate greatness. You just really do. And this Patrick Mahomes, he's great too. You could see he was not himself 100%. You know, he was hobbling around in that game. He had a concussion, one of the playoff games. So, I mean, this guy was out there on pure guts too. So you got to give him his love also.
Oh, he got thumped that game. He got thumped. He was running for his life tonight. I would say this. There's a State Farm jinx out there. And I know that he broke it last year because he won. But I don't know what it is. The whole Jake from State Farm thing, it's successful. They're great commercials. Has Chris Paul won anything? No. Has Aaron Rodgers won anything since he got involved with State Farm? I don't think so. The only person I can think of is Mahomes, and now it's catching up to him. He's falling apart. Blake Griffin used to have a Kia commercial. These people, there's a State Farm jinx out there. If your commercials last longer than you do in the postseason, then you probably need to find another person to endorse or another company to endorse. That's just my thought, and it's totally off the wall and stupid, and it's 11:38 at night on a Sunday, but I'm just going to throw it out there. The other thing, NBA COVID protocol. We, you know, because of the sad news about Pedro, because we've gotten into the Tom Brady and Jordan argument, all this stuff, we haven't got into this. What a bad week for the NBA. What a really bad week. And, you know, I kind of knew that they were going to run into some problems. Once you're outside of a bubble, you're traveling, the contract tracing is, but to go over, if you could go over really quickly for our listeners that don't know what happened to Kevin Durant this week, I'd like to talk about it a little bit because I think it says a lot.
All right. So Friday night, he was not starting the game against, I think it was Philadelphia. But then they said, because he had COVID back in March, right? But then he was exposed to a team employee. I think they were in a car or whatever. The team employee's test came back inconclusive. So they said to Durant, all right, you're not starting the game. We're waiting to get the conclusive result for this other employee's test. So apparently it came back and Durant had been tested himself and tested negative. So I said, okay, you can go in the game and play. So he's playing. He played like, I think 19 minutes or something like that. And then they pulled him. They said, no, because of the contact tracing, I guess that other employee's test came back positive, but Durant hadn't tested positive, but they said, because of contact tracing, you're out. So now he's going to miss like four games. He won't be back until Friday night. And it's like that. I mean, should the game have been even played knowing all this? Should they have just, I don't know. I mean, it's like,
should Durant have entered the game? That's my thing. If you're waiting on an inconclusive test, why would you even put him in the game? And now that you know, Fauci said that, you know, the chance of reinfection is definitely possible and people have to look out for that. Even if you've had it, it doesn't necessarily mean you have the antibodies not to get it again, especially with these new variants. Why would you even put it at risk? And I'm kind of with, you know, I've enjoyed a couple All-Star games with you and weekends, I'm kind of in the same school of thought as Kawhi Leonard, who came out against the league and thought it was really irresponsible for them to be putting on this All-Star game on March 7th in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. I mean, LeBron's not in favor of it. Giannis is not in favor of it. You're mentioning Kawhi. So it's like, if all of the biggest stars of the league don't want to be there, it's like and you know, LeBron's a good soldier. He said, look, if we're doing it, I'll be there. I'll be there physically. I won't be there mentally. It's just
a bad idea. You know, it's one thing to, I understand the getting your product going and trying to do as much as you can to, you know, ensure you have some kind of quality product, especially when fans do come back. And this is part of kickstarting the American economy. I'm certainly not in the Charles Barkley school of thought of getting these guys vaccinated before every first line healthcare worker and every person over 65. But I think, you know, the NBA All-Star game, the whole weekend is fun, and it's really a sponsors weekend, and it's a fan weekend, and it's not a Zoom weekend, you know, it's an in-person weekend. The whole experience is to be in person, and you're going to have this meaningless game, the skills competition, three-point competition's interesting, the dunk competition, I still don't care about, you know, the game like I used to because of the loss of fans. I was mildly interested this week because LeBron got into it with a courtside fan in Atlanta. Courtside Karen, of course. And which, you know, for me, like I kind of feel for there's some swell homespun women in this country named Karen, and they're getting a bad name with this whole Karen thing. I mean, it's just sort of become the, you know, white trailer park temptress from hell name. And I just feel like they don't deserve that. There's some good, do you know any Karens that are nice people and they're salt of the earth?
Yes, I do. My wife has at least one friend who is named Karen, but here's,
I had a Karen Behrman I used to go out with. There's a Karen Behrman. But she's Karen Behrman Miller now because she married some guy in Miami who hopefully
shout out still Karen Behrman Miller.
Yeah. Yes, hopefully it's still working out. Go ahead.
Here's how I would sum up why this All-Star game doesn't appeal to me at all.
It's an All-Star event, game.
Super spreader event, Atlanta Airport. Boom. Ever been to the Atlanta Airport, listeners? No, many of you have. It's the most crowded place on the planet.
No, it's the worst place on the planet too. You got to go into like Vector 4 monorail before you even get back to the main terminal. It's like ridiculous. I hate Atlanta. I hate the Atlanta airport is like second to maybe I hate Dallas Fort Worth more, but there's a few airports that are just miserable, awful places to be. That's one.
LaGuardia.
LaGuardia. I love LaGuardia because it was so convenient. I mean, it wasn't.
Well, newer. If you lived there, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah, I used to love it. I mean, the runway felt like you were going to go into the bay every time because it was so short. But God, I miss that little Delta Express to Boston. You know, I'd get on and Delta Shuttle. Yeah.
I think Atlanta's the worst. My favorite airport, believe it or not, is Detroit. Detroit's an excellent airport.
Detroit, Salt Lake. So I'll give you my favorite airport top five right now. Detroit, Salt Lake City, Logan. I think Logan's great, except for the big dig. I think Logan in and out, man, I love Logan Airport in Boston. Sacramento.
O'Hare? O'Hare?
O'Hare, God, they got, you know, it's so big, but they always got good food there. O'Hare, I'll give O'Hare, you know, well, I don't want to put it top five, but I'll put it top 10. I tell you, Bozeman, Montana, it's
never
like,
been.
There's one baggage carousel. It's like a fruit stand, but they got like barbecue there. You wouldn't believe it. I mean, they got buffalo. They sell buffalo and elk smoked in the airport. It's incredible.
All right. Talk about getting off the rails at the airport. See what I did there?
Yeah. Okay. I like that.
Pretty lame. Pretty lame. I know.
All right. So we're both down in the All-Star game. Yes. We both, if we had a top team right now, we'd probably take the Lakers, even though they've shown some fallibility. Dallas.
Utah's killing it too right now. They're 19-5.
Yeah.
But they're not. I don't see them as championship material.
No, they'll fall off the map at some point. But it's great to see Salt Lake City getting excited about a team again, even though there's nobody in the frickin' stands. I can't deal with the whole, you know, the whole. But by the way, did you see the Super Bowl halftime show?
I watched some of it. I usually don't care much about the halftime show. Here's what I use the halftime show for. I walk upstairs to the kitchen, put the TV on in the kitchen, and I clean up all the dishes from the food I ate in the first half. But the weekend was pretty good. I mean, I thought it was actually pretty funny. The last number, which is his big hit, I think Blinding Light or something. With all the guys, all the people that had the white thing on his face, like kind of making fun of his recent plastic surgery. That was pretty funny.
Oh, that is that what that was about?
Yeah, because there was social media pictures of Weekend. He had a nose job or something recently.
Wait. The Weekend. Wait. Okay, this is where I'm going to look like the most unhip suburban white dude in America right now. The Weeknd is the guy. It's not a band. It's not all those guys with the violin. It's not the whole band.
I always thought it was just the guy, The Weeknd.
The Weeknd is the guy?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm such an idiot. I thought The Weeknd was the band.
Well, I mean, maybe it is. But it was just so funny because there were these pictures on social media of him when he had this nose job. And then he's got like these like hundreds or however many dancers he had behind him when he was doing Blinding Lights. And they're all wearing the Schnozola masks. That was not a COVID play.
Yeah, that was a COVID play. It wasn't a COVID play. And then I thought like they were all 6 feet distance. I thought, geez, this is like the Anthony Fauci halftime show. I mean, come on, this is like, what are they doing here? I thought it was pretty interesting. I didn't know he had all those songs. I didn't know that guy was The Weeknd. Now I feel like stupid as hell. But anyway, I will say this. I thought it was good. My 10-year-old Oliver and my six-year-old to be Elliot stayed up and watched it. And then I put them to bed. They were totally enthralled by the Super Bowl halftime show. Overall, I thought they did a great job. I just want to end this by saying I'm still blown away by the whole Pedro Gomez news.
Oh, it's just so horrible. I mean, we slogged
through this thing and went off the rails 18 times. But when I come back to everything, it's like, a guy we both knew professionally and personally is dead way before his time. And nobody knows how or why right now. And it's confounding.
You know, it's like the Billy Joel song, Only the Good Die Young. That's how it feels sometimes, you know, because 58 is young in today's world.
Oh, please. I'm 57. Frank Isola always told me, he goes, I'm going to be the biggest son of a bitch to everybody all the time. And I go, why? And he goes, because they always say when you die young, like, oh, God, he was such a good guy. So if you're just a jerk, maybe you'll live longer.
It's not too late to change, Mike.
I think I'm still, you know, I've got a side to me. But anyway. All right. Anyway. Well, this was, thanks. Thanks for hanging in with me, Bruce. And thanks for putting this together. And then we'll be back again next week.
Yes. Hopefully on a, you know, just rest in peace, Pedro Gomez, and our and blessings to your family.
Godspeed, Pedro. Thanks to my guest and producer, Bruce Bernstein. You can follow him on Twitter at Pure Hoops Bruce. Kristen Woolley is our new editor, and we welcome Kristen to the team. Hi, Kristen. Please check out all of our Pure Hoops Media shows. Full Court with Jenny Fisher and Kara Kay has the best in college hoop each Tuesday. Catch and Shoot 2.0 with Otto Strong and Aaron Berlin is here every Wednesday. Buckets, Boards, and Blocks with Monica McNutt and King McClure drops on Thursday. BJ Armstrong and Eric Newman have the Pure Hoops podcast each Friday. And of course, I've got a new Mike Wise show every Monday. We also have a bunch of great segments you can check out on the Pure Hoops Media YouTube channel.
All right, let's go. Time to stick the landing.
Our biggest hope for 2021 is that the COVID vaccine is given to every person on the planet so we can snuff this pandemic out as quickly as possible. But until that day arrives, please keep your guard up. Wear the mask in public to protect yourselves and others. Wash your hands, keep your distance, and just be considerate of everyone. And keep all the medical professionals in your prayers. Till next time, peace.
The Mike Wise Show used to be called The Wise Ass Show, but it remains a presentation of Pure Hoops Media.